Before we begin and look into this, let's go in prayer and then let's ask the Lord to help us. Because this morning, I'm going to share some things with you. Actually, six things, six motivating factors for you to serve your Lord in His kingdom. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for these men and the sacrifices. Lord, in the things that they have seen, the things that they've endured. Lord, the heartaches, the brokenness. Lord, heal them, protect them. Thank you for the gift that they have given as they have served us in this country. Lord, help us to look at this as an example and to start understanding more deeply the duty that we have to you, our King. Lord, this calling that you have given us and how you have placed all of us at a post and you have given us marching orders. And Lord, help us to take this and hear this and follow. Follow you, Lord, until you take us home or until you come back. Help us to be faithful to this calling. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the scriptures that we're going to read and look. May they challenge us and change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first passage that we're going to look at is in Hebrews chapter 9, so you can turn there. When God calls you or people to Himself, God has never called, has never justified, has never saved one of His children, not one, for idleness. He's not ever called one of us to Himself and forgave us of our sins for us to do what we want to do. Did y'all know that? Now, American Christianity preaches a different gospel. And in this different gospel that you hear from churches in America, it is do whatever you want to do, what makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy is what God wants you to do. And that is a lie at best. Really, as Scripture calls it, and I'm going to call it what Scripture calls it, it's really doctrines of demons is what it is. Because when He calls you and I to Himself, He changes our, and we should see this. This is part of the confusion of what we see in churches of what true salvation is and what true salvation isn't. But part of this calling to Himself, He changes our desires. And now we should, as believers, desire what He desires more and more. As we die to ourselves, as we die to sin in our lives, as we live for Him and for His kingdom, we should want to serve Him more, serve in His kingdom more. We should desire the things that He desires more and more. But most Christians, sadly, today, they feel like they have this deal with God. Do you want to hear what the deal is? They make this deal, and this is the mindset of most people that are attending church in America today. And this is the deal. They do whatever makes them happy within certain boundaries. There are boundaries to it. But inside these boundaries that a lot of them set, which often is not biblical boundaries, but they know that they shouldn't. They're moral boundaries. But within these boundaries that they set, they can do whatever they want to do in between these. And whatever's left over, they might give to the Lord. People want the blessings of God, but they don't want the duty of God. Isn't that right? They want God to bless them. They want the blessings and all the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the kindness, the goodness. They want all of those things, but they don't want the duty. Don't put a demand on me. They want the glories of heaven, and they want to dabble in the pleasures of the world. In Hebrews 9, really in verse 14, but we're going to look, I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. It says this, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse you, your conscience, from dead works to serve the living God." So the writer is saying here, if these things were purifying, how much more when Christ came and died and you were purified by Him, through Him, and came into relationship with Him, how much more should you celebrate and should you serve Him in His kingdom? If you really get this and understand this, if this is true, think about this. If every Christian could sit down and say, okay, if He saved me to serve Him, the living God, if this is right and true, if this is what's going on, then why are there so many spiritually unemployed people? I want you to think about it. We can talk about politics all day long. We could talk about how we don't like it. We can talk about what's right and wrong in a welfare state. We can discuss this all day long. But I will tell you this. If God has saved you, He has given you a duty, and I will tell you this emphatically, there's a lot of unemployed people in the kingdom of God. You have a calling. I want you to show me one passage of Scripture that in any way hints that Christians are not to serve. And not just to serve, but if you look deeply enough and do it right, do your hermeneutics right, Scripture emphatically, overwhelmingly, again and again, calls us to serve all peoples all the time. Not just the people we like. Because I know what some of you are saying. Well, I serve my family. That's great. Amen. You should. I serve my wife. Absolutely, that's right. I serve my children. Yes. I serve my mom and dad, my senior mom and dad that need help. That is your duty. Absolutely. I mean, Scripture says if you don't take care of your own, what does it say? Do y'all remember? Worse than an infidel. How how are you, what is worse than an infidel? I've asked seminary professors, godly people, I'm like, I'm not real sure what worse than an infidel. I mean, an infidel is a pagan, somebody who's out of Christ, who doesn't love God, how do you get worse than that? Well, I mean, it's worse than that. Worse than an infidel. So all of these things are duties, but if you start reading, it talks about a calling in your life to all peoples. What about when you're going through that grocery line? What about when you're pumping gas? What about the people you really don't like? I mean, I'm talking about people that make your teeth itch. What about serving people that aren't like you, that don't look like you, that don't smell like you? Now, I'm being serious. Listen to me. Ministry is messy. It's going to get all over you. But when you get down and do that which God has called you, you see the face of God. You see Him. I know, we can talk about, I don't have enough time. We can. We can talk about, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. We can talk about retirement. But if you look at Scripture, as a believer, do you know when retirement comes? Do you know what you're... And listen, you guys have a great retirement plan. I mean, wowzer, right? I mean, like, can we retire? But do you know in Scripture, do you know when a Christian is called to finish his duty, his position, his calling? Do you know when you're done? When is it? When you go home. That's it. That's when you're done. And there is a way God wants you to serve Him. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. Your pastor is not the best at this. And there are times, and I'm just telling on myself, that I know God is calling me to do something and I'm grumble the whole time doing it. Oh, goodness, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. It hurts. It's weird. You never have enough time. I used to tell my kids as they were growing up, I wanted my kids to learn how to, as they were younger, how to have first-time obedience. I know we're miserable failures. All parents are. First-time obedience, to obey the first time. To listen to your mother and your father and do it the first time. But there's a key to this. And this is where so often, listen, you can obey God, but with the total wrong heart. And this is where the kicker comes. That was so hard. And it taught me and Beth a lot. As our kids would grow up, because I would say, honey, by the way, just as a note, I called my boys honey too. Though y'all know that. Boy, they're big grown friends. They thought that they would laugh about that. Your dad called you honey. I didn't care. But I would say, honey, not only do I want you to obey Daddy, but I want you to do it with a happy heart. I want you to be happy about it, because I would rather you go on and do your own thing if you're not going to happily obey. And we're going to get to this passage, but if you look in Psalms 100, verse 2, it talks about serving the Lord joyfully. And we're going to talk about that. So let's dive into these six motives. I'm going to give you six reasons. I'm going to help you today. I'm the coach. I'm the pastor. I'm going to give you six reasons to motivate you to want to obey, to want to serve our King, our God. In your position, God, listen, everybody here, when God brings you into His kingdom and He saves you, He gifts you with the Holy Spirit. Nobody, not one person who has been justified by God Almighty is lacking the power of the Holy Spirit. Not one. And so because of that, He has gifted you. And there are gifts in this room that are being highly neglected. Listen, if just the people in this room look around, would do what God is calling them to do, could you imagine the ministry that would happen? If we would repent and do what God is telling us to do. And you have giftings. Everybody that's a believer has been gifted that you're not using. So, I'm going to help you. I'm going to motivate you. Hopefully. No, let me back up. Hopefully the Holy Spirit's going to motivate you. If I motivate you, you'll just be pumped up maybe right now, but when you walk out that door, you're like, that old fat preacher. Don't listen to him. All right. First one, motivated by obedience. Motivated by obedience. If you can write these verses down, I've marked them so I don't have to like try to hunt for them. Deuteronomy 13:4 says this. Well, let me read. I want to read all of it because there's an explanation. There's always an explanation in there. Okay, Deuteronomy 13, the verse is verse 4, but I'm going to read 1 through 4. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass. So this prophet or dreamer comes up and it happens. Of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer or dreams, or the Lord your God is testing you. Do you remember we've been talking about this with Hezekiah? Testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. So it's saying here, Moses is saying, listen, even if this person comes along and he has these great gifts and he's telling you stuff and they come to pass, but they're leading you away from God, Don't follow him. It doesn't matter. I can make you rich. I can give you all kind of pleasures. I can do this and I can do that. If it's leading you away from the Lord, don't follow it. Right? That's what it says. Motivated by obedience. Listen. Listen. This is it. You do what God tells you to do, period. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Right? If you do what's right and you're backed up by Scripture and you know what's right, it doesn't matter what anybody else tells you. It doesn't matter, listen to me, moms, what your children tell you. It doesn't matter what your friends tell you, guys. It doesn't matter what anybody else tells you. It only matters what God tells you, right? But you have to know the Word of God to be able to discern and understand. You have the gift of the Spirit and you have Scripture. So get after it. Dig. And be obedient. I took this story because I love this story. If you have Donald Whitney's books on spiritual discipline, that's where actually I got this. And it is a great story, but it is so contrary to how our flesh thinks. And I wanted to share it with you because I love being contrary. Do y'all know that? It's about John Newton. John Newton, do y'all know that he was a slave trader who came to know the Lord and became a pastor, and God did a great work in it. He wrote that. Do y'all know he wrote a lot of hymns? Do you remember what probably his most famous? You can't say anything, Philip. Do y'all know his most famous hymn? Who knows his most famous? Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. That'll bring you to tears right there. But he wrote this about obedient, being obedient and serving the Lord. I'm going to read it to you. If two angels were to receive at the same moment a commission from God, one to go and rule earth's grandest empire, and the other to go and sweep the streets of the meanest, vilest village, it would be a matter of entire indifference to each which service fell to his lot. The post of ruler or the post of scavenger. For the joy of the angels lie only in obedience to the will of God. Amen? That's glorious. That's the gospel, right? It doesn't matter who you think you are, or who your parents have told you you were, or how you have built your ego up, or what you, all that matters is for you to do what God has called you to do. It was the unwillingness, if you know Scripture, of some angels that turned to demons and led to the fall. How can any Christian sit on the sidelines? Let me ask you a couple of questions. What have you done this week? Let's stop and, and you quietly think of this week. What have you done for the Lord this week? And then ask yourself, what have you done for yourself this week? Let's just make a list. Now, you know how I don't want you to do it right now, but I want you to sit down and go, okay, what have I done for the Lord? And what have I done for myself? And let's evaluate those two lists. If you really want to be honest, I mean, you can fool yourself. And there's a lot of people that do that. But this is between you and God. What have I done for myself? What have I done for the Lord? And compare it. And let me ask you this, just to throw a monkey wrench. Who decides what you give to you or God? Point number two, motivated by gratitude. By gratitude. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. God has called Saul, has crowned him king. The prophet has stood up, and before all of God's people, he says this. He says a lot, but I'm going to read one verse to you. He says this in 1 Samuel 12, 24. He says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you." Amen? I mean, what great things has He done? How He has blessed you. The things that He has given you. Motivated by gratitude. When a Christian stops and considers the great things God has done for him, serving Him becomes nothing, right? It becomes small. To be able to give to God, to do the things for the Lord, becomes small in nature. The burden may be heavy, but the service to gratitude, to serve your family. Listen, to be a godly husband and a godly father and a godly grandfather and a godly son and a godly friend, that's not easy, but it's right. Amen? It's the right thing to do. But when I consider all the things that the Lord has done, man, it makes the burden lighter, does it not? When we stop ourselves and remind ourselves of what He has done, Christian, let me ask you this. Has God done anything greater for you than saving you? Is there anything greater than that? Do you know of anything greater than Him calling you to Himself? Is there greater grace than that? Let me ask you a question. If He gave you millions of dollars, rich beyond means, but never saved you, what if He gave you health for 1,000 years? But never saved you. What if He gave you intellect beyond belief, smarter than Solomon, had more wisdom and knowledge, greater knowledge than anybody on the face of the earth, truly true knowledge, but never saved you. What if He gave you the greatest power just by a word? Things were done, but never saved you. Granted you wishes, but never saved your soul. I don't know what to compare. What could there possibly be in heaven and on earth greater than the Lord Jesus saving your soul? I do not know. Do you? Is there anything greater? So I would say being motivated by gratitude is a great thing. Motivated by gladness. If you would, turn to, we're going to get to that Psalm 100, but Psalm 84 first. Psalm 84, or write it down and go back and look at it. Psalm 84:10 says this, "For a day, one day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Amen? Lord, I'd rather stand by the door. Do you know that in this vernacular, that was the lowest of all the servants. Did you know that? The servant that would stand by the door to help you wash your feet. That was the lowest of all. And he said, "I'd rather stand by your door. I would rather stand by your door than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Amen. Amen. May that truly be your heart. Psalm 102, which I've already spoken of, but you need to know this. Psalm, but 100 verse 2 says this, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Amen. "Come before His presence with singing." The Lord doesn't want you to be grudgingly doing this. He wants you to have a happy heart. You guys remember the story when Nehemiah was granted time to go back to Judah to build the wall? Do y'all remember that? And he came in front of Artaxerxes, the king. I mean, this dude was the king of all the world at that time. And Artaxerxes looked at him. It's in Nehemiah chapter 2. You need to read it. You need to read the story. And Artaxerxes basically looked at Nehemiah. Do y'all remember this? And said, Why the long face? Why are you sad? Are you sick? Is there some? I mean, Artaxerxes, the king, asked Nehemiah, said, "Is there something wrong? Are you sick? Because there's obviously something going on." Can you imagine standing before Almighty God at the end of your days when He lays out the roll call of your life and you stand there? Can you imagine saying, "Well, I'm just a curmudgeon"? Y'all are supposed to laugh at that. I'm just a grumpy old man. And I missed this opportunity because I was mad at so-and-so, and so-and-so made me mad, and so-and-so hurt my feelings, and I didn't do this, and I was mad at that, and what appearance are you going to give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? For a true believer, serving Him should be the highest privilege. Let me ask you some more questions here. What if God came to you and said, okay, I'm going to work you at any position you want on earth. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to let you work and serve in any position. But hear me, you can never serve me. I'm going to let you do this and I'm going to give it to you. But you can't, I'm not going to allow you to serve me. How would that feel? What if he said, okay, I want, not only am I going to give you the position you want, I'm going to let you build the team around you, any team, the dream team. Anybody that you want around you to work with you, I'm going to allow this to happen, but you can't work with me. What if God said that? What if he said this? Not only am I going to give you the position, not only am I going to let you pick your dream, all the people that you want to work around you, am I going to do that? And I'm going to let you serve yourself whatever you want, but you cannot serve me. Just as a reference, do you know why I'm asking you these questions? So that you can get a glimpse of your own heart. So that you can self-examine yourself and sit there and think to yourself, am I like this? And if I am, I need to repent. Motivated by forgiveness, not guilt. This was an easy passage for me to find. Y'all know it. I've already worn it out. But I'm going to tell you again, Isaiah 6:6-8. It says this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the fire, from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. Motivated by forgiveness. Amen. This is a perfect example of this. Not guilt. Not being motivated out of guilt. Lord, I know you've done this. I know I've fouled up so much. I gotta do this. No. Motivated because you are forgiven and you're set free. Listen, it's almost like Isaiah couldn't hold it in. It burst out of him. It was like holding a big dog on a leash. And that dog was just pulling and pulling. And he was just set loose. Lord, here I am. Send me. You've forgiven me of my sins. True believers don't serve. Listen, we talked about this in Sunday school. This is the gospel right here. A true believer doesn't serve to gain his forgiveness, but serves because he's been forgiven. We serve willingly because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Serve his body. Serve your family. Serve your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. Listen, listen to me. Our world is so broken and upside down. If you walk around going, well, there's nobody for me to serve, you're blind. I'm being serious. There's so many broken people in this world. There's so much happening. It's up on its ears. You should be going, Lord, I just want to go buy a pizza. Can I take a breath? And you know what the answer is? No. Nope, you can't. I'm going to pile it on you. I'm going to pile it on you. Lord, this is overwhelming. Yep, it is. It is. Having kids, having a family, having grandkids, having nieces and nephews, being part of a church family. You want me to exhaust you? I can exhaust you. If you're truly doing those things. Now, there's some people that go, well, I'm a better husband than so-and-so. Yeah, you are. But they're busting hell wide open. Are you? Well, I'm a better dad than most people. Have you looked around the world at the dads today? Now, I'm being serious. Hell, y'all aren't saying much. Well, I'm better than this person. I'm better than that person. Isaiah right here said, woe is me, I'm undone. Right? And I dwell amongst a people that's undone. You know the crazy thing? And I'm going to tell you this. I hope y'all laughing a little bit. So I'm prepping you to laugh. Do I need to hold up a sign? Okay. You know what's so crazy? Is that people actually come to me to ask me to help them make decisions. Yes. That's the funny part. That's crazy. Because I look around and I go, God, I'm a mess. Amen? If they're asking me, what does that mean about them? That's why I keep saying to y'all, and I know we make a big joke, Mike Boyette's going to pop in any now, minute now. If y'all had a better pastor, there's no telling where y'all would be. I know. You don't want to know. I know. There he is right there. We don't want a better pastor. We want you. There he is. That's the line. But it's true. I think to myself, Lord, you've called me to this position. You must be desperate. But that's when he does his best work, isn't it? When he uses the most broken and the most lowly for his glory and honor. Amen? Motivated by humility. Motivated by humility. Now there's so many passages that I could read to you, but I'm going to just read three. And this is so simple, but it's such a hard lesson. Matthew 20, verse 20 through 28 is all. I mean, there's so much I could read. John and James' mother. Here's another mother story. You know, mother, this is a perfect example. Moms always think the best of their kids, which is a good thing. But that's why they need a dad to say, hey, your youngin' is not that great. All right? Verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." I've got this picture in my head of her, that mom behind them going, "Come on, you know what to say. Yeah, come on." And they're going, "We're able." They don't have any clue what's about to happen. But that mom, boy. I forgot where I was here. 23, thank you. So he said to them, did I already read that? Okay, so he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup." Okay, this is going to happen. "And be baptized with the baptism that I am about to be baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by the Father." But Jesus, when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Listen, moms, listen. Please don't do this to your sons, because after you leave, your sons are going to get beat up. Okay? 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Glory. John 13. Y'all know this passage. John chapter 13, the foot washing. Here Jesus is taking the lowest spot of a servant, washing feet. There's no servant lower than the one that washed feet. John 13. We're going to just read a few verses, 12 through 17. You know the story. He was washing his disciples' feet. He got to Peter, and Peter was like, "Nope, you're not doing this to me." Y'all know all that. Let's get to 12. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I just did to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, as a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these truths, blessed are you if you do them." One other that you know. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 11. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being the very form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to Him, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I don't know what else to read to you. And last, motivated by love. What time is it? Oh, you guys need to hurry up. All right, Mark 12, and we're done. Mark 12, motivated by love. We got to get this straight. 28 through 31. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus said to him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength.' That is the first commandment. And the second, like it, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Wow. "There is no other commandment greater than these." Motivated by love. Motivated by humility. Motivated by forgiveness. Motivated by gladness. Motivated by gratitude, motivated by obedience. There's 6 points. Let's get after it. Amen? I'm going to pray for us and we're going to be dismissed. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. For the power that's in the Holy Scripture. Lord, we make all kind of excuses. Everyone here is a spiritual lawyer. We find loopholes and reasons, and our reasons are always greater than everybody else's reasons. When, Lord, really, truly, what we are asking for more than anything else today, Lord, please grant us repentance. Please don't help us stay in our own mindsets with our own opinions and our own flesh and what we think and how we feel. And, Lord, help us, Lord, to hear you, to hear your calling, to understand our gifting, to know our duties, to stand at our post, to do our jobs for your honor and glory. Please, God, do this. And we will give you all the praise. Grant us repentance this day. Thank you for the example of the men and women that stood before us this morning, the gift that you have given us as live examples of service. But Lord, there is a higher calling than country, and it is to you. And Lord, the truth is, we are failing. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.